Yud Zayin Adar, Sunday the 8th of March, Rabbi Yossi David, Minhoge Ashkenaz and Sfard with Shchita and Bishul Akum. This week's Torah Way has been sponsored, Lizchus Echoson Avram Chayim, the Hakala Yocheved, no surnames given, and Lizchus Echoson Binyomim, the Hakala Shulamit Mibul. It's a guess.
Tonight, indeed, fortunately, I come across a lot of Balei Tshuva today. A lot of people who are quite new into the frum world and they're starting to observe halachas. And, you know, you speak to them about how the Torah has traveled from place to place over a period of since Churban HaBayis, even before, thousands of years, going from Golus to Golus. And they sometimes wonder, how come there's so many arguments in Halacha? And I tell them it's exactly the opposite. It's a mess, it's a miracle, that all the arguments are so small, such small arguments there are. We've gone apart so far from each other. Since Churban HaBayis, whether it's Golus Ashkenaz, Golus Sfad, so far apart, and it doesn't seem like today there's communication, and all the differences are so minute compared to what should really be. So in fact, you should be quite grateful that this is all the arguments. So if there's an argument about the Eruv, whether yes or not, Sfad, Ashkenaz, it's not a big deal. It's only a little prat in the mitzvah of Eruvin. Huh? Sorry? So, if there's an argument, generally, I'm not asking whether the Erev is Mahud or not, that's not my issue now. The question is whether the Rishus HaRabim, by definition, by the Sfadim, is you don't need Shishim Ribo, by Ashkenazim, you do need Shishim Ribo. Those differences are small compared to the differences that really should have been. Yeah? And we all know the Chiddah says that since by Churban HaBayis, presumably first Bayis, because majority of Am Yisrael didn't go up at Bayis Sheni. Yeah, Ezra left a pretty big amount of people back then in Iraq. Yeah, and probably there may have been even in Europe at some point then. And it seems to be that the Kedusha scattered, says the Chiddah, amongst the whole world. And the Yiddish people and the Jewish people, yeah, had to go from place to place, absorbing and taking the Kedusha, separating between the Kedusha and the Klipot, and once they finish the job, out they go. And that's where the Chiddah writes in Shema Gdolim, have a look at it, on the Erech of thing of Talmud Bavli. He says, we got the Talmud Bavli. He says, I've been to Bavli, says the Chiddah, this is over 250 years ago. He says, people can barely read Asher Yoshev Vesecho. He says, how come in a town where the Gemara was written, in a place where they wrote the Gemara, and all the biggest chachomim, the biggest yeshivas were there, all of a sudden people can't even read? What's going on? You go to Spain today, there's no zecher, there were any Jewish people living there. Apart from some things which the government left, which they had to leave by force. Yeah, there's no zecher to in England, Kanigan did the tikkun twice, that's where he came back after. Yeah, one in the north, one in the south, I don't know. So anyway, we're back here, we're in the middle of doing that. So the topic which I was told to speak about was about the differences. Awareness. Chalila, we're not coming to say that one minhag is better than the other one. That's not our chas v'sholom now discussion. Each one has its minhag. And the Sheiroshim go deep, deep rooted in the previous generations. So if comes out from our mouth anything which might sound like chas v'sholom pegiah on any minhag, you should know it's absolute dvorim b'teilim. Yeah? But people should have more awareness. Awareness. Today, Baruch Hashem, we call it Kibbutz Galiot, they call it, Israelis call it, yeah? People getting together. Sfadim and Ashkenazim, the world has become small. Say, not only when you go shopping, you find grapes, once you find South Africa, then you find South America, then in the middle of this, from Spain, from there, all over the world. You go to the supermarket, you're shopping. The world has become small. But not only in that sense, it's become small, they become to live next to each other. And in order to make that happen properly, we have to be aware of each other's minhagim. Do you know? No one is an alien. We all come from as we said, got deep roots. And we are, one of the big differences about the Shechita, I know it's not a topic 30 days before Pesach to discuss about that, but we have to start somewhere. We can't start by kitnes, yeah? That's a minhag. We have to start the things which are chashash, tarafut, we call it, treifas, yeah? So, there's an interesting Rambam. The Rambam writes in Hilcha Shechita, he, after counting the 8 kinds of treifas which we have, and after he's making it into 70 treifas, says, Elu Hashivim, only 70 treifas which I've counted to you, the all halacha l'moishe misinai, yeah? Says the Rambam, and this was a question which was asked in the Gemara, there used to be certain hunters, used to hunt animals, and they used to hit with the arrow at Sanir, the Kiliyah, in a certain place, and they used to cause the animal to die. And they asked, the Gemara asks, why if you shech them quickly before they die, are they called treifas? Because they're not counted in the list of treifas. So the Gemara says, how would the law say it? We mustn't add on to the treifas which Chazal have counted. Only what Chazal have counted are considered treifas. Says the Rambam, ve'en lehoisif al treifas elu klal. You must not add on to the list which we've added on. Even today, doctors, scientists will come along and say there's a certain illness in animals that will not be, if it's not counted amongst the treifas which Chazal have counted, it's not a treifa. Because the Mishnah says something tremendous. He says, had we've been in the time where Chazal fixed the dinner treifas, they probably had some cure for this illness which has come up in this generation. We just don't know. Like Chizkiyahu was Goyin's, the Sefer Refuos, which had the truth probably for cancer as well, for terrible machlas as well. We don't have it today, unfortunately, yeah? It's the same thing by treifas. So we mustn't add on any treifas to the list. שכל שאיר על הבאים או לחי או לאוף חוץ מאלו שמונו חך מדורת הראשונים והסכימו עליהם בבתי דיני ישראל אפשר שתחיה ואפילו נודע לנו even if you're certain מדרך הרפואה שאין סופה לחיות it's not going to live it's not considered a treifa you can shecht it obviously if there's a din by behemah mesukenet a danger of behemah which we are worried that something happened to you have to have a pilchus after the shechita has to move some movement anyway Says the Rambam in the next halacha. Ve'echen elu shemanu v'amu shen treifa. So too those which were counted as treifas by Chazal. Even though today the scientists will come along and say nonsense. Yeah? These are not treifas. Animals can live fine with such a treifa. Says the Rambam. Af al pi sheyirae bedarkei harefua shebeyadenu. Shebmikzatam einam amitim. Some of the treifot which Chazal have counted do not kill the animals. They're going to live. They're going to live more than 12 months, according to what we hold, yeah? Machlokes Nigmora. Says, Ela, ve'efshe shetichye mehen, el lecha ela ma shemanu chachamim shneemar, adds on a posuk, which is very strange, and the Chazon Ish makes, and the Moshe Feinstein talks about this, al pi ha-Torah shel Yerucha. According to the Torah which they will instruct you, asher Yerucha. Seems to go to generation, because at the time Moshe Rabbeinu's Matan Torah didn't conclude all the treifas. It's done in the Gemara. And the Chazon Ish writes that quite clearly. It's an amazing Chazon Ish. Chazon Ish speaks about agunah, yeah? Whether you can judge treifas in the time of Chazal to treifas today. Today in the medical world, they can find cures for all kinds of things. So someone can be made on someone who was seen with a leg, even with arteries, the leg cut, and you can say, oh, he's going to die. But we've got today ways of tactics of how to overcome it and make him live. So Chazon Ish discusses, and by the way, brings in his treifas. So Chazon Ish says, ונמסר לחכמים לקבוע טריפות על פי רוח קודשם. I'm not reading the Sfadi Sefer, I'm reading the Chazon Ish. According to רוח הקודש, שהופיע עליהם. והנה, באמת, when you learn Chazal, when you learn Gemara, we have to really imagine that we're standing before Malochim. Yeah, Rishonim כמלochim. והנה היה צריך להיקבע בבית האלפים תורה כדאמר בביד הזורו, דין הטריפוס לדוירוס. ואין לנו תורה חדשה אחריהם, והם עקבו אותה כפי השגחתו, יסבורך בזמן ההוא. חזוני שאת, at that time, if there was a cure, there's not a treifa, if there was no cure, it is a treifa. After that, and he brings the Rambam, and Rav Moshe Feinstein in Chosh Mishpat says a similar idea to this, on the Rambam, and he says that gives us an answer to many diseases or illnesses which come along today, to animals, or the contrary, we find many treifas, we have makpid so much, which we're going to speak about now, about the lungs of the behemoth. Seems to be that today animals live with sirchas, without with this connection between parts of the lungs together, and they have no problem. Still, according to halacha, if a re'ah is a silcha, we consider it a treifa, and the animal is not kosher. Proper treifa.
So what does silcha mean?
Oh, I'll explain. That's where I'm getting to. Yeah? I'm going to start somewhere. Now, the Gemara says, in the name of Rav Huna, yeah? Says the Gemara like that. Behema bechaya becheskas isur medes. Yeah? She says, a behema, live animal, is ever min achai. You can't eat it as it is, you have to shecht it. It's a becheskas isur. Until, so therefore, when you do the shechita, if any sfeikas, any doubts happen at the time of the shechita, the animal is treifa. Unless you know it was shechted properly, because the animal prior to that had the cheskas isu. Once you've shechted it, we've got a concern the animal might be a treifa. Gemara says, not like that. Says the Gemara, nishchita, once you've shechted it correctly, harei becheskas heter, as sheivada lecha bemani treifa. So technically, according to Rav Huna, you don't have to check for any treifas in the animal unless you've got a rail staff. You've got something wrong with the animal. It's not walking properly. It's collapsed. If you've got a doubt, you have to start checking for the foot in the animal. Otherwise, take a perfectly looking, healthy animal, shecht it properly. You don't have to check for anything. No internal organs, nothing. Make sure everything is there, obviously. Yeah? And that's it. You're done. However, Chazal and Shulchan Aruch bring clearly that when it comes to the lungs, it's different. Why? Not because roiv lungs are okay. We haven't got a problem. But there's a miuta motzui. That's how the Bach explains it. There's a minority which is motzui. And that's why the halacha says that if an animal came and chafed or it got lost, the lung got lost, and they didn't get a chance to check it whether it's okay or not, l'chayla kunta halacha, it's not a problem. Because we've got a rule. Achre Rabim Le'atris. And Philip Roiv says that Roiv animals have no issues with it. I'm going to discuss that, that nowadays seems to be a big problem. I've visited a few shechita places, three in England, and you don't get even 50% of kosher animals from the shechita. Okay? We'll soon talk about the Beis Yosef, which is Sfaradim and Ashkenazim, to try and understand that that percentage of Sfaradi kosher behemoths, you don't get even maybe 15%. So, will that change the whole policy, the whole isha we have towards the lungs? So it's not rov here. So we have to do the prichodosh about it. We'll try and summarize it soon, yeah? So basically, I couldn't have wanted to check anything, but the lungs we check because there's a chashash, and there's a machrek in Rashi in the Mordechi, whether what happens if you didn't check it, what happens if the lungs disappeared. Rashi is very machme. He brings the chuvas of Yoyrim, that if you didn't get a chance to check the lungs, the rabbanon maybe, yeah, the rabbanon. If you didn't check, because they were matzich to check the rea, if you didn't check it, the animal is treifa. I think today in most shechita, if the lungs get lost, they just give the animal away. We've got an advantage today that we buy off the goy whatever we feel is okay for us. Yeah, we pay a bit more expensive for it, but that's the way we do it, yeah. But in places where the balabait, it belongs to the Jew, the animal, he stands on your head like that. It's a bit of a big loss. Anyway, so the Mordechi and the other Rishonim disagree with this, and that's what the Shulchan Aruch holds, that if you didn't check the lungs, as Rinam Basaruba, since majority of lungs are okay, it's only a mute motzui, but it's a mute motzui. If you didn't get a chance to check it, if it's in front of you, you have to check it. You didn't get a chance to check it, the animal is okay. Again, I don't know whether today things will change. Seems to be great logic to say, today things will change. If you consider the figures of what we have today of kosher behemoths, issues with the lungs, then things should be different. You have to understand the movement of the animals has an effect. I remember going to back in Argentina, and there was a lot of circus in the behemoths, and the barabai, the goy, would say that these animals traveled a long time on the lorry. It was 6-7 hours on the lorries before they came here. Those animals which were local had less sirchas. If you stay in one place together, one place too long without moving about, so you can understand the lungs also don't move about. It caused an effect. So, going to the next point now, about the issue of the lungs. Trying to understand what's the idea, what's the approach with the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah. You have to understand how the lung is constructed, yeah? Like Kosh Boch, obviously. So there's unois and there's uma, yeah? It's like a eshkol shel anavim, like you have a bunch of grapes, yeah? You've got, on each side, you've got different grapes. So too in the lungs, it's like that, yeah? You take the lung, on one side there's three unois, and on one side two, in the bottom of each one there's uma, which is much bigger. And if you can take it out, so what happens is, at the time of a shechita, what is a bdika called? The bdika is pnim and the bdika is chutz. Yeah? You first do a bdika inside the animal. I'm sorry, probably most of you know this. I'm just going over it just in case no one has seen it. Fortunately, I've seen it and I've experienced it myself. I've checked myself. Yeah? And they cut the front of the animal to a certain point, not too much, carefully, not to affect anything on the way. And the boy that puts his hand inside can't wear gloves because they have to be super sensitive. And he puts his hand inside and he feels to see that there are no, let's call them strings. Sircha milashon sroch. Sroch nal, when you tie something, when something is tied to something else, it's called a sircha. Yeah? So he feels, if he feels anything attached to something else, he will mark it. When they take the lungs out, they will check what it is. Now, the issue is, how sensitive must you be? Can you fiddle around with these connections? That's the machlokes between Beis Yosef, between the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah. Here we come to crucial. The argument is massive, if you think that's that specific argument. Why? According to Beis Yosef, he brings the Rashba. Let's start with the Mari Lavan. There's Mari. Rabbeinu Yaakov, one of the Rishonim, he brings as follows. He brings that they used to shake the lungs before checking them. Just in case there's any, they call them sinews or strings, that. It says whatever will come off anyway, it's not a sircha. It's a sircha ben yoma. You have to understand there's rir and there's a sircha. A rir is something which happened recently. It's not going to affect the animal whatsoever. It snaps off alone. It's not going to create any tefus. There's a sircha which remains. And machlokes between Rashi and Tosfos, what exactly a sircha is. There's a sircha say that there is a hole and it got covered. Or that it's, Tosfos says it's going to become a hole and the animal won't live. Okay? Those attachments can cause sometimes a hole in the lung. Says the Rashba, no such thing. People rely on this opinion of shaking and they start fiddling around with any sircha which they find, which we call miush and miuch in the Loshon of Chazal. Miush, miuch and miush. They start fiddling around with it and it'll come off. He says, nonsense. Someone who does that, ke ma'achil trefot le Israel. He says, ma'achil trefot, someone who fiddles around with a sircha, says, no matter how thick the sircha is, how much the connection is, if it's thick, if it's thin, no matter how thick or thin it is, if someone fiddles around with it, he should know his machil treifas.
When he puts his hand to check his pulse, yeah. Goes damaged, no?
When he has to do it very carefully, and if anything comes, and this is called Maria Lavan, even the Rashba could be, will agree, and it does, Shulchan Aruch brings it to Halacha, that if something lifts up, just by Gvat Etzba, slightly lifts up, Shulchan Aruch writes to be makel only by a behemoth which belongs to a Jew. Yeah, but it belongs to Goy, don't be makel anyway, let him have it. Yeah? But Lehalocha, yeah, there was someone who claimed that today we count the Beis Yosef. You know why? Because if we makel with Akbat Etzba, it's not Legamre Beis Yosef. It's not true. Beis Yosef says, if you makel by Bemes Yisrael, surely it's not a treifa. Yeah? So, you're right. If it slightly comes off, it's okay. And also then, they'll mark it, and when they check out if there's still something left, then it's a problem. But there's nothing left. And we say, sircha ben yoma. It's a rir and it's okay. Okay? So that's not such a problem. The Ramah comes along and says, not like that. The Ramah says, the minhag was, although he's reluctant, he's not so happy with it, but he writes, the minhag in Ashkenaz was, and this is due to circumstances, you should know. It's also due, could be the animals that were treated in a different way, could be that they had the matzah which they were pressurized, they didn't have any meat otherwise, they were less fortunate. But whatever the case is, the Ramah writes that in Ashkenaz they were knowing to do miush umiuch. Mimush umiuch. That means the fiddle around, because there are more holes. That a silcha, a proper silcha, even if you fiddle around with it all day long, it will not snap off. It will not come off. So if it did come off, it's not a silcha. Chidush Otsum. The Chol, it's a minority of opinions. Majority are siding with the Rashba, even amongst Chachmei Ashkenaz. But that was a minhag in Ashkenaz. And this is where we come to the big difference. Yeah, there are certain silchas which we are maker in Ashkenazim or Machme. For instance, if there's a silcha kesidra, that one una covers another one, it goes one on top, sits one on top of the other one. So we say, even if there was a hole, it will help it block it. It won't have a problem. According to Bessios, if you see such a silcha, don't even check the animal, it's fine. You don't have to check it. According to Ramo, you have to take it out and check it. So, this is a one all, it's a draw. Yeah? So we're okay. But this silcha, this Indian of miuch shumiuch, is a big problem according to Bessios. According to Bessios, that makes the animal treifer. So, amongst Sephardi communities, it's widely accepted this chumra. There are a few towns in Morocco itself, which they hold differently. They were made by Sirchos, by Miush and Miuch, but amongst most Sephardi communities, I'm talking about the Iraqi, the Zivchei Tzedek, the Kafachaim, and the Minhag of Yerushalayim, before the Talmid HaGaon came, and even after, it was known, they were machmir like the Beis Yosef. Just for your information, the Shlach HaKadosh writes that he instructed, although in his town, in his country, they were making this, he writes, I'm mitzavet to my children at Tzivui that they should be makpid on the chumra of the Rashba, chumra of the Beis Yosef, not to have any animal which has the slightest silch in it. So that's an interesting argument. So that's what I'm saying, we should be aware of this issue. And unfortunately, Shchita, until recently, I don't want to name names, but even Mehudorim, even Shchitas, which you hold very highly of them, who are on the top of the range we'd consider, when it comes to Miush Umiuch, the maker. It's unfortunate, because they're selling a lot of meat to Sfarim. So, okay, so you can tell it's a client's fault, he should not. But really, there should be a sign. People should have awareness. Unfortunately, people, as I said, amongst the killers of Balei Tshuva, they don't really inquire about these things. There is, Baruch Hashem, today the facility, certain kashrus has actually gone with this. As I said, it's not such a hard thing to do, because the market, as they're doing the bdikas, this is Beis Yosef, this is glat. Yeah, that's what we call Chalak Bet Yosef and glat. If it's glat, it's up to 3 silchas. If it's got more than 3 silchas of miush umiuch, they can't call it glat anymore, Kuntz Ashkenazim. They don't call it glat. That's what they call glat. Kuntz Ashkenazim is called Chalak Bet Yosef, but it's nothing. Unless it's Akbat Etzvah, like I said, a very large Rir Ben Yomo. So there's a bit of information that people should be aware.
Where does number 3 come from?
What? I don't know. It must be a pisod. We don't like Zugas. Yeah, but it comes, because already, you know what, come on. We have to be maker, but 3 is reasonable. Look, here in England, whatever is marked at Chalak Bet Yosef by, I don't want to mention which kashrus authority, you should know that they have covered the Ashkenazi glass together with the Sephardi one. Okay? It's 100%. Okay? That's why you'd be surprised that perhaps this is a better hechsher. Nothing to do with that. It's got to do with the policies of the kashrus authority, whether they should do it or not. What? 3 is got to do with chazaka. 3 is got to do with chazaka. That's but, yeah. Good. Some. Chomel
lemachshava. This is chickens as well?
No, chickens is much less problematic. We don't check the lands at all.
This chickens. Is sheep and cows.
Only cows.
Not sheep?
No, by sheep they don't. It's not sheep so much. It's a good point you made. But we're now talking about bakar, what you call calves. Calves, beef. And Mamash, I visited the Shchita. The system is amazing. You should know, we're fortunate. In England, the system is amazing. Yeah, now the Shechting in Poland, is, I believe it's the same. Better than Eretz Yisrael, better than South America. South America, you've got pressure of the arbiter, of the Shchita place, the Goyim. Thousands. And one day I saw 500 behemoths were Shechted in one day. 500 behemoths, you know what that means? So 10 Shechting, all running all over the place. Yeah? 500 behemoths. So there you've got pressure. Yeah, well, containers to me. Yeah, listen, the pressurized the mashgich and the thing, you know. So there's a big, it's a horror issue involved there. And that's Israel, unfortunately, there's not much behemoth. It's behemoth Israel. You have to be very, here in England, marvelous. The system is so slow, no pressure. They check behemoth, can stop the line from moving. He's checking now. There's hardly any pressure. They pack it, and after the packet, they weigh it, and whatever you take, you pay for. More expensive, but you pay for, but there's less pressure when it comes to checking. You can't have, a boydik has to be Yeresh HaMayim and Abim. You're putting your hand in, you have to be super sensitive. You can't have anyone pressurizing you. It's a pachad. My father told me when he used to check the Yerushalayim, really in the early days, the mamish, it's a constant fortune to be matzah for behemah. You'd have problems with the owner of the behemah. You should know, England is quite fortunate. Yeah, that's the issue. I want to cover another issue before we finish. Another issue.
Is what we call glatt really glatt?
I explained myself. Yeah. Glatt, what's called by most authorities, if there's a few up to three shumiuch, they're making them glatt. I'm talking about chalak bet yosef, what they call. The truth is the same word. Chalak is glatt. Glach. Yeah, smooth. Yeah, by Esav it says. Ish chalak, have a look what the Talmud says.
It's not glatt, it's kesher kosher according to some.
Yes. I went to Shchita here in England, in Ireland, that they had three categories. They had kosher, glatt, and chalak with yourself. Kosher is, thank you, when I finished checking all the sirchas, all got rid of them, split them, fine, no problem. Check the water, any bubbles, fine, kosher. Glatt is up to three, and chalak with yourself will be, now could be other, I haven't visited all the kashers, but this is one specific one. Now, obviously, there's a source. I said again, the mimic of Ashkenazi to be making lemir shumiuch. I just want to be aware that if you have a Sfardi who is machmi, respect him. Yeah, don't. It's mamish worse than feeding kidneys to an Ashkenazi and Pesach. You should know. You certainly it's worse. I know it sounds funny, but it is. And people today, you have kidneys in the house, chomo or gebruch. You have wet matzah lo aleinu. Yeah, that's terrible. But it's a chumrah. It's a chumrah. It's a chumrah. And you have to know that this is a chashash tafut. The other thing which I wanted to touch, maybe I'll touch it really quickly, which is the big difference, because since the restaurants and all these things have this issue, the issue of bishulakum. Bishulakum. Today is very problematic to decide and categorize what's considered oil al shulchan melachim. Yeah? By definition, today you go to banquets, the most strangest things come up on the banquet, yeah? So you don't know what to define as Oyla Shulchan Melachim. I'm not going to ask the... It's not necessarily the queen. There's one of the poets who said, Mam Malchi Rabbonim. What do you put in front of a choshev, a mensch? It's also called Shulchan Melachim, yeah? So, what's considered Nechel Chai? We've become very strange today. We eat raw fish. No problem. The Gemara says in Shabbos that a fish, a dag tafel is mukzeh. Yeah? And meat is not, because people eat meat raw. Today it's the opposite. People eat fish raw, and meat they don't eat raw. So mukta changes, in that sense, yeah? Or also I went and asked a few poiskim in Eretz Yisrael, and they laughed at me. I said, they have sushi, they have raw fish. She said, no, it's with rice. No, raw fish. Okay, fine. No. Can't be makelum bishulakum. I went back to him a few months after. I went to a wedding, and the first course of the wedding was 400 people in that wedding. Big wedding. First course was raw pieces of fish. And I had some sauce there and you had to dip it. I had mine and my neighbor's. Yeah. And I went back and said, in Kacha? I asked him, and you're right, things have changed. It's Nechel Chai. If it's widely spread, it's Nechel Chai. It's not a few Michiganers. It's fashionable food. Everyone eats like that. Anyway, going to the issue of Mishalakum, the difference between the Sfardim and Ashkenazim. The Ran writes that lighting the fire helps only by bread. By tafshilim, it's insufficient. You have to have an active role in the actual cooking. Meaning, it's not sufficient to turn on the fire. The guy can't turn on the fire and go home. The yid can't turn on the fire and go home. You have to have an active role in the cooking. You have to put the food on the fire. Otherwise, it'd be considered proper bishulakum. I'm not if I couldn't say Rashba, it's still between the Machlokes Rishonim, whether the Kelim become tefillah for Babi Shulakum or not. Yeah, but we hold it as. Shulchan Aruch holds it as. So therefore, it's massive, it's quite a big difference. There are bonums, yeah? But there's still a difference, yeah? So therefore, they have to have an active role in the cooking. whether it's sufficient, even if the guy puts it on the fire and you just turn on the fire, that's also an active role in the cooking. It wouldn't cook without your fire. So it's fine if you put. But the main thing is you have to have a, it's not sufficient for the mashgiach to put on the fire first thing and walk out of the kitchen and let him, yeah. Even to fry an egg is a problem. Shulchan Aruch says, Beitzah, even if it's roi legoma chai, there's still an issue of bishulakum. Yeah? It's a problem of bishulakum. I have a different problem with that. That nowadays, eggs are not toile shulchan melochim. When was the last time you had, yeah, you had eggs in a banquet? It doesn't happen, yeah? Yeah. Eggs? They give eggs? Happened, huh? The only egg remains the children.
The queen has breakfast.
The queen, no, breakfast is something else. The queen, she scrapes the pot for the burnt part as well, but she won't do it in a banquet. We're talking about what she do in a presentable, not when the king of Africa comes and visits. We're talking about a normal...
decoration.
Huh? Decoration is not considered. It's not a proper dish. That's not what you put mayonnaise in, all this. It's not a, they won't make it nechel chai, yeah? It has to be properly as eaten. Anyway, that's a different. But the idea is, now, the other argument is the Mordechai and the Ramah brings, that no, it's equal to pat. Just like my bread, Shkirat HaTanur Mo'ila, you can just turn on that fire, so it's sufficient for Bishulakum. That creates an argument between the Shulchan Aruch Damo, Sim Kufyud Gimel, Sim Zayin, Machlokes between the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah, whether it's sufficient to just light the fire or not. So, it's appropriate that the mashgichim, at least to working, should be aware. Don't change. Chas v'sholom. We're not requiring from any kashrus authority to start like once. Rav Avadia himself once said he complained to someone about the wine. If it wasn't proper, it couldn't be said. Although I think there's no argument to be said. So it's got to do with the regulus of what they blend water and wine today. So he went complaining once to the Charedis. What are you doing? I couldn't ask you. Can't make a geffen in some of your wines. So he says, you have a look at the stamp. It says, Lekol Mekelot Ashkenazim. In our stamp, we wrote clearly, we are Eid HaChareidis to Kol Mekelot Ashkenazim. So what, we're not kofuf to do what you. Anyway, let's not go into the issue, but you should be aware that if a Sfadi comes on, can you put in the fire? Don't look at him as if he's falling from the moon. He says, do you know everything? I've been to many places. I asked him, do you mind putting or making sure? You don't need to. Now it is, we should be aware. If inviting people, we should be aware of these issues. Chalila, we have to know that the idea is to create achdus, not the opposite. Mm-hmm. And achdus is created by knowing and respecting that each other have different minhagim and being aware of this idea. Yeah, it says by the Dgolim, when we traveled in the Midbar, each one had his own dagger, different color, lechoyre, that caused piluk. Machloikes, because Baruch Hu wants to unite, v'eichan sham Yisrael keneged ha'al, ke'ish echad. What's the problem? Why must we travel with different flags and different groups? He says, no, it's not. Each group wants to show the other what he can offer for him. So therefore he puts a flag of what I can offer and help and create a unity. The fact that we have come from different backgrounds, it doesn't mean we can't have unity. On the contrary, each one bring each other and explain and understand and try and offer what we have to others, yeah, or what each other have. That's the idea of unity, to get to know and to be makpid about this. So obviously we didn't touch much, we've gone over time. So let's hope maybe in future we'll continue discussing more.